When it comes to your sales stack, stop tool hopping and start winning with Nux. Simplify your outbound today at nux.ai/salesgravy. That's nooks.ai/salesgravy.
This is the Sales Gravy Podcast. Hi, I'm Jeb Blunt, best-selling author of Fanatical Prospecting, Objections, Sales EQ, and Inked, and I'm here to help you open more doors, close bigger deals, and rock your commission check.
Welcome back to another episode of the Sales Gravy Podcast. On this episode, I'm with Vera Stewart, who is a celebrity. She is an insane cook. She's a Southern lady who loves the Georgia Bulldogs. And we're going to be talking about what it takes to be an entrepreneur and grow a business, and something that most salespeople are totally interested in, what it's like to just not take no as an answer and how that helped. I would say that the difference often between someone who is able to go to the next level in their business and those who don't are that there's something inside of you that recognizes that there's an opportunity in that moment. Don't mess it up. Mm-hmm. Like, take advantage of it. If you got to go a little bit harder, go a little bit further, if the governor says, hey, can you show up and do the luncheon? You don't go, look, I'm really busy today. You go because you recognize there's something there. And when I look back at like the early part of building Sales Gravy in this business, there were so many moments like that where if I'd gone the different direction, we wouldn't have had that opportunity. And I'm curious from your standpoint, do you see it that way? Like, because when I read your history, I'm like, this happened and she took advantage of it versus letting it just slip by her.
Well, and you know, I think sometimes people relate nervousness and, you know, being scared and not feeling confident, that, you know, if you take that leap of faith and you get comfortable with that, you know, knot in your stomach or whatever it may be, you find out that you can accomplish that. But if you don't take that leap of faith, you don't know. I mean, you know, honestly, fast forward a little bit and I get this call from what was posed as the Cooking Channel that I knew was new coming behind the Food Network. And they said, would you consider yourself an expert on carrot cake? Well, she could have asked me on elephant cake, and I would have said yes, because I figured by the time I need to be an expert, I'll be an expert, you know, so I wasn't about to say no. And as it turned out, it was a hoax, and it was Throwdown with Bobby Flay. And, you know, just in that moment, seeing him standing there and knowing that I was getting ready to be in a competition, the first thought in my head was, I'm going to beat him. I'm going to win. You know, and that's why, you know, I think a lot of times it's planting the original seed of success rather than I can't do this, or I won't do this, or I'm scared to do this.
It's just saying yes.
Yes.
I feel the same way. There's so many times in my career where I've had a client come to us and said, can you do this? And we go, yes. Because we figure by the time we get there, we'll be able to do it.
That's correct.
I think that it's the way I say it is that messy success is better than perfect mediocrity. So it's that confidence to say, I can do anything. I can figure this out. I'm not going to get out over my skis. This is in the realm of things that I do. Say yes. And I think so many people say no because of that same reason. They're insecure. They're scared. I go back to I figured out a way to get into Fort Knox. I had to jump out of an airplane to get there, but we were building out the military part of our business. I wrote a book called Fanatical Military Recruiting, and then I asked, is there any way I could go see the recruiting school? And then we got into the recruiting school, and I said, is there any way I could go look around? And as we were looking around, I saw an office, and it had a general in it, and I just walked in and said hello, but the person that was escorting me was like, no!
Oh, my gosh! You know,
But I walked in and said hello, and then I had a conversation, and it turned into something. But if I'd have been afraid, they might reject me, or I might not be able to get in. I wasn't doing anything bad or ugly. I was had a smile on my face. I was just moving forward. I think it's that, and I think a lot of sales professionals miss opportunities inside of their accounts to ask for more, to get a referral, or to see an opportunity to expand because they're afraid.
Oh, gosh, you're speaking my language so much right now, because you know we're developing some new clients this year for the Masters. And, you know, in that process of working with my team, well, they didn't mention that they wanted anything like that. I was going, What do you mean they didn't mention it? We're supposed to mention it.
They didn't know that they didn't
want it. They didn't know that, you know, and it's like, well, I don't think they're going to want to do that. You know, these sorts of things. And, you know, we have to rent a commissary kitchen that week to provide enough space for everything, all the food, all the prep, everything that we have to do for that week. And this time we're getting a big refrigerated truck to sit in the yard because we're just out of room. And so yesterday, you know, somebody said, well, you know, the truck can't be delivered until Friday. And I said, well, why is that? Well, we don't actually lease the property until Friday. And I said, well, have we asked them if we could perhaps put that truck in the parking lot on Wednesday? Yeah. And I said, all they can do is say no.
That's right.
You know, but and so guess what they said? Sure.
All they can do is say no.
All they can do is say no. And let me tell you something. No is not a good word for me. I do not like that word.
All right. We're going to come back to that because that's part of the story that I want to talk. That's one of the reasons I want you here. So Bobby Flay. So you get face to face, nose to nose with Bobby Flay. So just real quickly, what was the experience like?
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, he's really cute. And second of all, I mean, like I had to take in that moment that I am on this show that is off the chart rated instead of some new show called Top That Cake for the Cooking Channel. So I had to process that. And then I thought, you know, I can immediately get business from this because I was a mail order company. I didn't have to wait for someone to come to my cafe in Augusta, Georgia. They could immediately get online and order that carrot cake. And so just the I'm going to win, and it was, I think, the personality part, it, like you walking in and saying hello to that general, he probably loved that because anybody else would have been too scared to do it because that was against the rules or whatever. And so I just played in, and I messed with him a little bit. You know, when he said, I'm putting ginger in the batter. Well, I knew enough about ginger to know you're not going to taste anything else. As soon as he did that, I thought, I got this. I mean, I'm going to win. I'm going to beat him to death, you know? And so I think I could see the vision on what it would mean to win. It takes me back to the third grade. If it was Red Rover at recess and I was the littlest kid in the class, I was going to break through. I was going to find the weakest link in that group of kids in front of me, and I was going to bust through that line. It's just part of my personality.
So you win for the sake of winning?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And I want to make a point here because there's something that we talk about all the time at Sales Gravy in our training. We talk about relaxed assertive confidence. So people have a tendency to lean into people who are relaxed. If you're calm, you're cool, relaxed. And you totally exude that. Like you're a relaxed, confident human being. People love confident people. Like you talked about the general. Mm-hmm. And I've never met anybody who didn't love confidence and respect confidence and lean into confidence and assertiveness. Assertiveness is you've already decided I'm going to win. You believe that when you ask for something, people are going to say yes to you. So many people, they ask because in a way that causes them to basically say to the person, I know you're going to say no to me.
Right.
You know, so you wouldn't be okay, would you, if we were to put the truck on the lot maybe on Friday, would you? Like, no, you go, hey, I got a truck coming, this refrigerated truck. Can we go ahead and put it there on Wednesday?
Yes.
So you ask that way.
It's a statement.
Right. But it's assertiveness, and mm-hmm. it's different than arrogance. Mm-hmm. Like if you – like just hanging around with you and watching you, you're the same person on TV as you are sitting right in front of me. You just have this – genuine, authentic, like way about you, but you're assertive. Like you say, I want this, and with a smile on your face.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference between people who see assertiveness as arrogance. Like they're in their mind, I'm being arrogant. Arrogance is different. Nobody likes arrogance, but people love assertiveness. And it's amazing. I tell salespeople all the time, like you could say, Purple Cow, how about Thursday at 2? And people will go, yes, mm-hmm. because they say yes to your confidence, not to the message.
Well, and I work with children so much. I have a part of my brand is a cooking camp that we do in the summer, you know, and I speak to these things with, you know, 8 years old, 6 years old, you know, don't say can't, you know, just try it. you know, yeah. to, you know, and so building that understanding of confidence, and you can get away with so much if you act like you know what you're doing. I mean, it's proven to be successful for me more times than not, for sure.
No doubt. If you don't believe it, go watch TikTok, right? There's a lot of people acting like they know what they're doing, and they have millions of people watching them do stuff that they don't really know how to do, but they exude confidence in there. So, okay, so Bobby Flay, you're on the show, and it changes everything?
Oh, it does. And, you know, the first thought that came through my mind was that he was in Augusta because somebody was going to take him to play golf. And I just happened to be the you know, no pun intended, the carrot.
That's right.
You know, the carrot and the carrot cake that made it work. But that wasn't why he was here at all. And so, honestly, that changed everything. I mean, that took me from, you know, national reach to my brand, because people, I mean, our website crashed. You know, it just, we couldn't even accept the number of orders. And then it showed in reshows for like 6 years. And we'd start getting all these carrot cake orders. And I'd say, well, Bobby Flay ran again last night, you know. And so the local television station said, we're going to give you your own show. We'll let you record 6 shows and then we'll run them in reruns. Well, I didn't say anything, but I knew good well I was going to film more than 6 shows. So I went ahead and planned 24. And, you know, well, if you work really hard, Vera, you know, maybe in 5 years you'll get syndicated. And I thought, where's the rule book that says that I can't get syndicated until the end of 5 years? And so we approached WSAV in Savannah, you know, looking at our data of where people are commenting, you know, liking us on Facebook and all of that. And Savannah was that area of the state. And they just happened to have a female GM, which might have played a part in the fact that she thought this would be, you know, good programming on Sunday morning on WSAV. And that was our first syndicated market.
Okay, so let me back up for a second. So get off Bobby Flay, you get a shot. The local TV show says, Vera, we're gonna film 6 episodes. You said, yeah, we're gonna do that. I'm gonna play your game, but I'm doing more. I want to do this. Like, mm-hmm. And there had to have been something about being on with Bobby that caused you to say, this is cool. Mm-hmm. I want to do this.
Well, and that, you know, honestly, again, going back to my degree in home economics, one of the classes you had to take was food demonstration. And, you know, I was never nervous doing it, you know, whether it was cutting up a chicken or, you know, grating cheese or whatever the assignment was that you had to get in front of a camera to do it. You know, I wasn't nervous about it. We film without, I have no cue cards. You know, I'm just kind of in the moment. They're saying, wrap it up. And I'm saying, we're going to finish this during the break. You know, I kind of just played into it. And it's interesting to me that being from Thompson, that you were not aware of like my mail order days or my cafe on Washington Road, and that you learned about me from the show. And that is so interesting to me, because you met somebody that's not exactly who most of the people in our area knew originally. And I love that part.
That's true. Okay. It's true. That's how I met you. But I fell in love with you when I heard your story. So you get this shot and you say, I'm not going to wait 5 years. And I love that, right? So you're saying, and this is what rainmakers do, by the way. And just a real quick side story. At the beginning of the pandemic, back in 2020, I'm sitting in East Atlanta. I walk out of an audiobook studio. I just finished doing the audiobook for my book, Inked. And my phone starts ringing off the hook, and it's executives, CEOs, people that I advise going, Jeb, what do we do now? Should we keep selling? Do we pull back? Like, what should we do?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, no, you keep selling. You keep calling. You keep talking to people. They need you. Maybe you change your message just a little bit, but keep selling. The same group of people were calling me midsummer saying, Jeb, we've got a conundrum. We don't understand this.
Mm-hmm.
We have some of our salespeople who are hitting all-time records. They're selling more than they've ever sold ever before in their lives. They're crushing company records. And we've got another group of salespeople who are barely making it. We don't even know if they're going to be able to survive. What is going on? And as you started asking questions, one group were like you. They're rainmakers.
Mm-hmm.
They looked at the world and said, you know what? This is the world I live in, but that's not going to stop me. I'm going to figure out a way. It turns out that I can sell more in a virtual environment because I can put more people in my funnel because I'm not driving around in a car.
Right.
And another group of people, I call them rain barrels, that are sitting around waiting for something to change, waiting for something to happen. And in that moment, you could have been a rain barrel and said, okay, I got these six shows. This is really cool. I'm going to have good fun with this. And maybe something good will happen. I'll wait for 5 years. Or you could choose to be a rainmaker, which is what you did. And you said, you know, I can do this. Like, mm-hmm. I can make this happen. I've just got to go find the next station. What was that moment when you, I don't know if you got in your car, if you got on the phone, but you decided to go to Savannah or get with, you know, WSAV
mm-hmm.
and say, you need to have me on, you know, on the show after people told you you couldn't do that. Like, what was that like? And how did that manifest itself into a sales call, essentially?
Well, and, you know, for the audience, you know, being in front of you and feeling this chemistry and, you know, there's nothing like it. And for me to be able at the time, this sort of setting, you know, was not an element back in 2011. So I had to get in front of her. I wanted her to see that I was very serious about it, that I could bring an audience, that they could sell 8 commercials during my show for top dollar, and that they could make money putting this show on as a barter.
Okay, so let's stop for a second because this is important for all the listeners, very important. You went in mm-hmm. thinking about her.
Mm-hmm.
So you went in and said, you can sell 8 commercials and you can make money. And that was your pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I'm great,
no.
But here's how I can help you mm-hmm. sell more advertising for your radio station. That's crucial because when we take relax assertive confidence and we put that with you focusing on the value that you can create for the person that you're having a conversation with, all of a sudden you have magic.
That's right. And that was 2013. And if they weren't selling those 8 commercials, they'd put in Ginzu knives or Pocket Fisherman or, you know, something like that for paid programming. But instead, they're running quality television. They're able to sell those commercials. The show is top rated during that time frame in Savannah. And we've actually, Jeb, never lost a station. We've never had a station cancel our
100%
program.
Retention.
100% retention.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. No, keep going.
No, because honestly, if they even thought about it, I would be in my car. I would be on my way there.
But that also says that you take care of your stations.
Right.
And you stay committed to them, you stay focused on them, and I think a lot of people take for granted what they have versus truly investing in making sure that those stations who are integral to your success
mm-hmm.
are happy with the product that you're producing. Actually, I'm very sad that this conversation is coming to an end because I literally could sit here and talk to you all day long. My last thing is, how do you do it? Because, you know, I tell people all the time, I'm from the South, and I can't even say hello in less than 30 minutes. And you were talking about how, you know, they're telling you to wrap up. That's got to be tough for you.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like I always say, no matter what you do, do it in good taste. So when you do have to wrap it up, just have that smile on your face.
Well, with a smile on my face, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
It's been so much fun. And folks, to find you on social media?
At Very Vera Stewart
okay.
is the show. And then at Very Vera Camp is my camp. And at Vera Hospitality for the catering side.
Very good. And that's on Instagram,
yes.
Facebook, everywhere.
Everywhere.
Very good. Don't forget, go check out Sales Gravy University. You'll find that there's always something new on Sales Gravy University as well. And if you've never taken a course there, go take your very first course. You can take any course, pick anyone, use the code FREECOURSE, go to learn.salesgravy.com. That is learn.salesgravy.com. And we'll see you next time on the Sales Gravy Podcast.
Nooks brings prospecting, emailing, and parallel dialing into one single workflow. Their AI agents handle the busy work so your reps can focus on what matters, live conversations. Stop wasting up to 80% of the day stitching tools together and start hitting your numbers with Nooks. Go to Nooks.ai to see how artificial intelligence plus human intelligence equals more pipeline. That's Nooks.ai, N-O-O-K-S.ai.